even if you don't make formal New Year's resolutions, a lot of people take the new year as an opportunity to make some changes in life.
A new book from a Wisconsin researcher offers lots of advice that could help us kick off the new year with a look at how we handle our emotions.
At UW Green Bay, Ryan Martin studies the psychology of emotion. He's done a lot of work on anger and is known as the anger professor.
His new book tackles emotions more generally with lots of practical steps along the way. Ryan Martin is Dean of the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at UW Green Bay. His new book is called Emotion Hacks, 50 Ways to Feel Better Fast. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
I think a core concept that's really important here is the idea that we can have some sort of influence over our emotions. I think we might think emotions just happen to us or they don't, and there's nothing we can do about it. Make that case that, yes, in fact, we can step in and intervene on our own emotions.
Yeah, this is the sort of essentially the origin of the book is a conversation I had with someone on social media who said, look, if exercise doesn't work, he was talking about a very specific thing, I don't know what my options are. And it made me really sad because ultimately there are so many different options. There's lots of things we can do, big things and small things, that can have a really profound impact on our emotional life. And so the book is really about trying to share those ideas with people. Here are 50 different things that you can do to help manage your emotions once you fully understand how emotions work.
Let's get right into how emotions work. You give a summary in the book of kind of a chain of emotions. You call it the why we feel model. Can you briefly spell that out for us?
Yeah. Ultimately, whenever we experience some sort of what I'm going to call a stimulus, but a provocation, something happening in our environment that sparks an emotion, there's a couple of different elements here, right? There's that stimulus itself. So maybe you get stuck in traffic or maybe you see a scary movie or maybe you lose something that you care about, right? There's that stimulus. And then there's our mood at the time that we experience that. So are we hungry? Are we tired? Are we stressed? And then there's our interpretation of that stimulus. So, you know, how do we interpret? How do we appraise? How do we make sense of it? And what I want people to understand is that there are different interventions at each and every one of those points. There are things we can do to thoughtfully engage with the world so that we are being clear about what stimuli we are inadvertently inviting into our life. There are ways we can take care of ourselves so that our mood at the time that we experience those stimuli can help us feel better about things. There's different ways we can interpret those stimuli. There's different things we can do when we're emoting, and there's different ways we can express it. And all of those can be choices that we make in our day-to-day life.
And many of the hacks are kind of in the moment things. You start with a few that are big picture, kind of like basic maintenance. And one that I love is paying attention to our mood, even when we're not mm-hmm. feeling a negative emotion, but being in touch with what our mood is and having that be ready for that when that stimulus happens. How can we be in better touch with what our current mood is?
Yeah, I think it's really, really important for people to pay attention to how they are feeling in a given moment and understanding that that feeling influences how you respond to some sort of stimuli. So if I am really stressed out or already angry about something or really tired, and then I experience that delay in traffic or some other sort of seemingly negative thing, it feels so much worse to me. But just being able to name the fact that it feels worse because of the mood I'm currently in, well, that is going to help me deal with it. So if I can say, this feels worse because I am tired, or this feels worse because I'm stressed or hungry or whatever, that makes a difference in how we experience that provocation or whatever it is.
Let's take that to that next step. We've recognized, hey, our moods change, and I can definitely vouch for this by reaction to, say, knocking over a glass of water. I might laugh at myself if I was in a good mood. I might swear at the glass because it's the glass's fault, right? If I'm in a bad mood, how in that moment I knock over the glass, I realize I'm going to be irrationally annoyed. how do I step in that moment?
Yeah, this is one of the hardest parts about managing our emotions is figuring out how to intervene in the moment when we've experienced this sort of negative thing. And we get better at it when we practice. And so a big piece of this is the need to practice and be prepared for that. And one of the things I really encourage people to do is be aware when they are what we call catastrophizing. So you use the example of knocking over a glass of water. We can think about what are the realistic consequences of this. A lot of times we blow things out of proportion, we catastrophize, we make a big deal out of this. But in reality, there's a difference between that kind of irritation and something that is truly catastrophic. And so one of the things I encourage people to do is, first of all, whenever you experience something, there's going to be a moment where you're maybe a little bit irrational. And that's okay. Like, you can take that moment. And then once you're starting to recover from that, think through intentionally, okay, what are the consequences here? In the case of the glass of water, hey, I got to grab a towel and clean this up, right? Hopefully I didn't ruin anything permanently. Over time, people are going to get better. If you're doing that and being intentional about that, it's going to become more of a habit for you to actually reflect on that in the moment, and you'll cut down that irrationality moment considerably.
We're talking to UW Green Bay psychologist Ryan Martin about his new book. It's called Emotion Hacks, 50 Ways to Feel Better Fast. Ryan, you also dig into more consequential moments that might have emotions in our life, like me knocking over a glass of water, not a big deal. But you say, you know, there are real problems that can make us sad, mm-hmm. losing a job, losing a relationship, and so on. And it seems like a lot of the work here is finding a sweet spot. You don't want to deny the emotions that come with that. You don't want those emotions to ruin you, basically. What are some of the hacks to take that legitimately troubling event and come out of that?
One of the things we know is that suppression or denying your feelings is also going to be a problem. And so it's a problem to blow things out of proportion. It's also a problem to minimize. And so part of managing your emotions is having that realistic understanding of how bad something is. But not just that, having a realistic understanding of why it happened, who's responsible, you know, including yourself and how responsible you are for something. And I think it's part of why that's so important is because that, again, gives you a sense of what you can do next. How do you intervene in this? How do you channel those emotions? And so, for instance, if you identify like, hey, this bad thing has happened, it is legitimately bad, and I am largely responsible for it. Well, we should use maybe the guilt or shame or disappointment you're feeling as a way of like kind of channeling that into some self-improvement approaches or making up for the problem and so on. If you determine, though, hey, this is really driven by some sort of, I don't know, systemic problems at my work, some things that are not working correctly that led to this negative outcome, well, then you can channel some of that emotional feeling and the energy it provides into solving those structural problems at work.
And one of the worst things you could say to someone in that situation is something along the lines of look on the bright side. But part of our tactic in getting through that isn't saying, well, look on the bright side, find all the positive, but can I take something positive? What can I take to move ahead here? It's a fine line in some ways, but a really important one.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. A lot of times when we think about some of the positive reappraisal approaches that we use, some of those things can end up feeling pretty minimizing. And so we have to be really careful in what we tell ourselves and what we tell other people. And so, you know, one of the things I talk about is putting things into perspective. And another version of this is the sort of, hey, look, it could be worse, right?
I laugh because this was my thing for dealing with negative emotion. Other people have things worse right now, so quit being a baby. That was not a successful perspective strategy as I read your book.
I mean, ultimately, it can be. But in the moment, especially right after a loss or a frustration, that isn't a thing that ever really makes people feel good, right? It's sort of like saying to someone, hey, calm down. Or, you know, another version is like if my son walks off the soccer field after a bad game and I say to him, hey, it could, you know, it's only a game or something like that. There may come a point, though, as you're navigating these, that putting things into perspective is a good, healthy thing to do, where you can start to think, okay, we got to remember the scope of this. How bad is this? And I think, again, the same thing can be said for refocusing on some of the positive elements. That's a good, healthy thing to do, but not in a way that's dishonest, not in a way that minimizes some of the very real negatives that are there. What I often tell people is, of course, it could be worse, right? Things can always be worse, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't bad right now. And so focusing too much on that can be unhealthy.
And let me be clear, that stop whining is my self-talk. I didn't say that to other people. And that leads to another thing. Sometimes the strategy is, okay, you're saying this to yourself. If your friend or a loved one came to you with this problem, is that what you'd say to them? Like, put yourself in that third-person perspective to get that perspective we're looking for.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And one of the things I talk about is trying to take that broader view and imagine how this story might be from another person's perspective. What would they say about it? Sometimes taking a moment, especially when you're feeling pretty intensely and sort of trying to distance yourself from the situation, can offer you some really important perspective that way.
Here's one that I think people might, you say in the book, people push back on some. Ask yourself if the feeling is valid. And you write, like in pop culture, hey, all of our emotions are valid. And you say, well, hold on. How do we sort that out?
Yeah, this is a place that my take isn't particularly popular here, but I stand by it. Not all emotions are valid. And I want to qualify that as saying emotions are real, all of them. And so they absolutely exist and they are absolutely something you are experiencing. Some of this comes down to how people define valid. But from my perspective, by definition, some emotions are invalid. We're going to use the most obvious example of this, phobias, which is this intense fear response to a specific thing. Those are by definition unreasonable, which is at least my definition of the word valid, right? We should listen to them. We should absolutely pay attention to them, but we should acknowledge that they aren't necessarily coming from a healthy, reasonable place. And part of what it means to have a healthy emotional life is to know when they're coming from a reasonable place or when they're coming from an unreasonable place. And when they're coming from an unreasonable place, we've got to be honest with ourselves about that and then try and navigate what that means.
Another one that, it's one of the starting points from your book. You touched on it briefly earlier. We think, I'm angry, I'm going to exercise that anger off. And the research says, no, that doesn't really work.
Yeah, so exercise is one of the more complicated elements here, and that is because exercise when you're not emoting. So under normal circumstances, it is a super, super important and valuable aspect of emotion management. It is good to exercise. In fact, there's some research that says it outperforms medication as a therapeutic option. It is something people should absolutely be doing for their emotional well-being. However, when you are highly emotional, when you're really angry or when you're really scared, a lot of times people say, well, I like to go to the gym and work that off. That has typically been found not to be effective, especially really vigorous exercise. So going for a run, hitting a punching bag, that kind of emotional expression ends up keeping those angry thoughts or those anxious thoughts kind of at the surface. It keeps your heart rate elevated at a time where what you might need is to decrease your heart rate. So alternatives to that that are still kind of similar to exercise are maybe going for a walk, something that doesn't necessarily get your heart rate going but gets you out and about.
And briefly, the exercise is part of some of the first few tips in the book, taking good physical care of ourselves, including staying hydrated. There's research that shows that, hey, if I drank that glass of water instead of knocking it over, I'm going to be emotionally in better shape.
Yep, absolutely. So, this is a good one for a lot of people. That there's plenty of research out there that says even mild dehydration impacts your mood. And so making a point of taking good care of yourself by eating well, by prioritizing sleep, again, exercising, staying hydrated, being careful about what you drink can really influence your mood in a positive way.
We'll leave it there. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Ryan Martin, professor and researcher at UW Green Bay. We've been talking about his new book. It's called Emotion Hacks, 50 Ways to Feel Better Fast.